Next, we'll hear from our internal committee chairs on their respective reports. We'll start with Executive and Planning Committee, Justice Doug Miller.
Thank you, Chief. My formal written report will be posted online. One of the duties of the Executive and Planning Committee is to solicit and review nominations for the dozens of advisory committees that inform, guide, and energize judicial branch policy. Our recommendations are then forwarded to the Chief Justice, who under our state constitution makes the final determination. I'm happy to report that this year our committee received 357 applications. Think of that, 357 applications of justices, judges, lawyers, court executives, and others in the court community who would like to volunteer their time and energy to the branch. Again, I think that's a testament in some sense to the work we do and the interest in it. The advisory committees are extremely important because they study the issues and make substantive recommendations to the council. They help us make informed decisions about branch policy, and we couldn't make those decisions without their assistance and help. As the Executive and Planning Committee reviews the nominations, we keep in mind the chief's and council's aspirations to select a diverse set of candidates. We also look for those who are fair-minded, deliberative, and civil. And finally, we look for those willing to take a statewide perspective in this work, who recognize that we must represent all the interests of Californians. The nominations we received this year were, as usual, excellent. In some ways, that made our job to evaluate and make recommendations to the Chief Justice much more difficult, but in reality, difficult in a good way. Yesterday, I submitted to the Chief Justice our recommendations. The Chief will review our recommendations, and we expect appointment letters should be going out in the next month. And that concludes my report, Chief, and thank you.
Thank you, Justice Miller. We'll hear next from Policy Coordination and Liaison, Judge Ken So, Chair.
Thank you, Chief. The Policy Committee has met twice since the June meeting. At those meetings, the committee took positions on behalf of the council on eight bills. Among those bills include AB 1492 and AB 1156 dealing with criminal law, and Senate Bill 238 and 253 dealing with the use of psychotropic medications in children in foster care. Additionally, the Policy Committee took a position on Senate Bill 694, which would allow writ of habeas corpus to be prosecuted on the basis of new evidence. The governor, of course, has signed into law some Judicial Council-sponsored measures. Among those measures include Senate Bill 470 relating to summary judgments. I'd like to especially thank Judge Weber and CJA for vigorously advocating on that bill, which of course would allow judges not to have to rule on all those summary judgment objections. As Martin has indicated, September 11th is the last day for each house to pass bills, and you may be drafted to come and advocate on certain bills. The governor has until October 11th to sign or veto bills, and of course, we anticipate the policy committee may have to meet a few times between now and then to address last-minute bills and amendments. Finally, I'd like to thank Judge Brandland, the vice chair of this committee, who has helped organize and shepherd many of these bills through our meetings. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge. So, next we'll hear from Rules and Projects, Justice Harry Holm.
Thank you, Chief. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. The Rules and Projects Committee has met twice and communicated by email on one matter since the June 26th Judicial Council meeting on July 6th. Rupro met by telephone to consider a proposal that circulated for comment on a special cycle. Rupro recommended the proposal, which has already been adopted by the council, was adopted at our July 28th meeting. On July the 30th, Rupro met by telephone to consider three proposals that had circulated for comment. Rupro recommends these proposals to the council, which are items 3 on yesterday's agenda and items A1 and A2 on today's consent agenda. Rupro has also communicated by email on August 19th, earlier this week, to approve for circulation for comment a proposal to amend recently adopted Rule 4.105, which, as all of us will recall, has to do with bail. In traffic cases, to amend the rule on positive bail and infraction cases to expand its applicability to non-traffic infraction cases. The proposal will circulate for comment through September the 7th after review of the comments by the advisory committees and the Rules and Projects Committee. The proposal is expected to come before you at the October business meeting and to be effective, if approved by you, on November the 1st. Thank you, Chief. That's the Rules and Projects report.
Thank you. Before I call on Judge Jim Herman, the Chair of Technology, to give his report, I would like to first acknowledge that Assistant Presiding Judge Jim Herman delivers his final report. Now Presiding Judge, actually, thank you. Presiding Judge Herman of Santa Barbara Court delivers his final report as Chair of the Judicial Council's Technology Committee. I wanted to take a few moments to publicly acknowledge your contributions to the Council and also the judicial branch, and to thank you again for your service and dedication in shepherding us through a very challenging time with our governance and our strategy and our tactical plan for technology in the branch. And I think it's helped Judge Herman as he collaborated to develop the Judicial Council's Court Technology Governance and Strategic Plan to have had so many leadership responsibilities, both as a lawyer and as a judge, before he came to the Judicial Council. You've been steadfast and strong and deliberative and fair with all the interests and the concerns over where the branch stood with technology after 2012 in March, when this council terminated our statewide system. You've been on council during my entire tenure so far as chair of the Judicial Council, 5 years, and I'm grateful for your counsel. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for those very kind remarks, and I want to take a moment of personal privilege at the end of my report. Since the June Judicial Council meeting, the Judicial Council Technology Committee has had two meetings, one telephonic on July 21st and the other in person yesterday. So I will give the Council an update of those meetings. At the July 21st JCTC meeting, the committee received updates on the work being done related to the V3 case management system budget change proposal and other proposed and future technology VCPs. Technology governance, specifically related to ITAC's work stream projects. The committee approved the recommendation and report to the update of CRC 1016 and 1053, and this implements the recommendations of the council-approved court technology governance and strategic plan, and of course we approved the change to those rules yesterday. We also received a report on the update to CRC 4.220 and forms TR 500 and TR 505 and TR 510 related to remote video proceedings that was on today's consent agenda, or will be on the consent agenda. At the on July 23rd, there was a V3 court meeting with the joint JCTC and Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee members attending. And this related to the V3 case management system BCP, the joint JCTC and Trial Court Budget Advisory Working Group met with the V3 courts to review the potential BCP for case management replacement. And the meeting was on July 23rd in Los Angeles. JCC staff and the V3 courts met by phone on August 3rd and August 10th as a follow-up to this, and the courts are working to have a draft BCP for staff to review by today. The BCP concept must be submitted in September, with the final BCP to be approved by the Council at its December meeting for a January 2016 submittal to the Department of Finance. At yesterday's in-person meeting, the committee received updates on the activities around the funding of the V3 case management system. The committee reviewed public comments and final proposals to amend Rules 2.251 and 8.71 to authorize electronic service on consenting courts with a vote to approve. The committee also reviewed a rules modernization project, the public comments, and final proposal to make technical, non-substantive amendments to the rules in Titles 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, and 8. as well as another proposal to introduce new rules to address public access to electronic court records in the appellate courts, and finally for electronic signature standards and guidelines that would be circulated for comment to the trial courts. The standards and guidelines would be included in the trial court records manual. Kudos to Jake Chatters for his work on this project. And other updates received included the contract for California Court Technology Center, CLETS, and CCPOR in relation to operation and budget impacts, the current and upcoming work and activities of the Information Technology Office, including the office's budget, as well as work of CTAC and activities of the work streams. Chief, just as a matter of personal privilege, it's been, I'm extremely honored and grateful to having served on the Judicial Council, first as a lawyer appointee by the State Bar of California, and then this last 5 years, it's just been a tremendous experience with all of its ups and downs. It's been it's been a career experience. So I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful to having sat in the front row of history for your first 5 years as chief and observed your leadership in terms of making us a more transparent and collaborative branch. And I'm especially grateful for your Access 3D. Access has always been number one priority for you, and particularly the remote access piece of 3D, because that relates directly, of course, to technology and our ability by way of technology to reach out our nets to serve more court users in the state of California. As part of this, I just have to reach out to my colleagues that are sitting around this table. I'm constantly gobsmacked, pardon the Briticism, by your wisdom and your judgment and your collegiality, and probably most of all by your sense of humor in the face of daunting responsibilities that we face on a regular basis. I want to express my gratitude especially to those of you that have served on the JCTC. You've been unbelievably valuable in terms of moving us forward in the sphere of technology in the service of the people of the state of California. I also have to thank the CIOs, CEOs, the judicial officers that we've come in contact with through great JCTC over the last 5 years. We're an amazing and resilient branch, and it's just been a tremendous privilege, Chief. Finally, I want to say that I've received from you more than I've given. It's really been an immense privilege, more than I've given, except for poppycock, of course. Inside joke, Justice Hall. Finally, I can't leave without expressing my thanks to the IT staff at the JCC, Kurt Soderlin, Mark Dustman, Renee Stewart, Virginia Sanders Hines, Kathy Fink, Juno Calpalza, and finally the unsinkable, unstoppable Jessica Craven, who has just been a tremendous resource for us in terms of supporting the committee. These are the unsung heroes. I mean, these are the folks that really do the work. We are the renters, but they are the residents. So I'm extremely appreciative for all of their good work and support. I will miss all of you. But on the other hand, the old council members don't die. We just usually end up on some other committee. So my doors on our little fishing village on the south coast of California are always open. You're always welcome. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.